Jesus. Thank God for fellowship. Thank God for the blood of Jesus that covers our sins right now. Thank God, as Sandy said, for this Palm Sunday. Praise God. We're headed toward Easter resurrection morning. What a blessing. We are recipients of the grace of God. We've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Thank you, Lord Jesus. He said, the word of God said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Amen. You've been redeemed. How do you say so? You know, you find somebody to tell that I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. Rocky, you've been redeemed, sister. Praise the Lord. Amen. So let's give God some praise in the house. Amen. I love you all so much. We love the Lord because He first loved us. And we just give Him praise and honor. We thank God for all of the ministry that went forth yesterday in the park. You know, God is so good. We didn't think anybody was going to be there. It was a walk. Get this out, and we're going to bring the speaker up. It was a walk for the homeless. So yes, people had paid to walk in this marathon for the homeless. But some kind of way, all that they were doing, all the homeless had been pushed out somewhere. So all the people that was walking never saw anybody homeless. But you know, the Lord had us all stay right there.
Yes.
And we set up, and then the people begin to come in. The homeless population, they begin to come in. And one of them shared, somebody shared something with Gary. Gary overheard. What was that you heard about when 3Ps go out, when our ministry go out to the park, Gary? You remember what you
said?
Yeah. So they especially look for this ministry to go out.
They're looking for us.
Because they feel connected. They feel the love and the compassion. And we just thank God. So God bless you all. It's just a blessing to know that we're in Christ and Christ is in us and He's doing something in our midst. Amen. In the midst of a crucial and perilous time we're living in, God is great. And He is ready to be praised. So without any further ado, we're going to ask Pastor Dr. Cubby share the word of God that the Lord has placed upon his heart. Amen. We want to turn up our spiritual ears and raise up our antennas and hear what thus saith the Lord. Let's give God some praise.
Start out with reading some scripture this morning.
All right.
Jesus and his disciples were on the Jericho Road. They had already climbed most of the treacherous pathway that twisted and turned for 17 miles. From Jericho up to Jerusalem. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, tell them that the Lord needs them.
All right.
And he went, and he will send them right away. Beginning and starting now is Matthew 21, 1 through 3.
Amen. Praise
God. 1 second.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you this morning, Palm Sunday. Father, we came here with expecting hearts. We come to this house this morning asking you to fill our hearts with love. Remind us, Lord, once again, the importance of what you've done for us. We ask, Lord, that as the word goes forth, that it would touch the hearts and minds of those that are hearing.
Yes.
Those that have an ear, let them hear what the Lord has to say. And we invite the Holy Spirit, Lord. We invite the Holy Spirit to give clarity. We invite the Holy Spirit to speak in terms in where we can understand. We pray, Lord, that the anointing of the Holy Spirit would fall upon us this morning. In the name of Jesus. Lord, I must decrease while you increase. Lord, you said that if you be lifted up, that you'll draw all men unto you. So this morning we cry, Abba, Father. We lift your name. We worship you. We give you honor. And we give you glory. In the name of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
The title of a message this morning, Power Hour, stole it. The Triumphal Entry. Our text is found in Matthew 21, 1 through 11. In the beginning, I've already read the first three, so we're going to start at verse 4. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell the daughter of Zion, Jerusalem, Behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt and laid their clothes on him and set him on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the ground. Then the multitudes who went up before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Yes.
And when he had come to Jerusalem, all of the city was moved, saying, Who is this? So the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. This morning I want to just touch base. I have three subject matters I'm going to be covering. The first is the Passover. The Passover was an exciting time. For a lot of the reasons, because if you remember in the Word of God that the children of Israel, they were slaves in Egypt, and they had cried out, Lord, save us. And over a period of time that had been prophesied, finally the Lord says, it's time. It's time. And so there were a lot of miracles. There were a lot of things that Moses spoke to Pharaoh, let my people go. And then he said, yeah, sometimes, and then his heart was hardened.
That's right.
And so God used that for the example of how powerful he's going to be in their release. And so that one of the last plagues that came on them was that the passing of the first sons. And so this is what they had been celebrating, because they were brought out by a mighty hand. They were brought out by the Lord Jesus. And here we find that this celebration had been continued. And there were people that had come from all nations to celebrate a spring festival. And the Mosaic calendar commenced on the 15th in the month of Nisan and lasts from seven to eight days. It was a celebration. It was a time that came together, and for, you know, I don't know about you, but whenever something in our lives are so exciting that we need to celebrate it, that we pull out all the stops. It's party. It's party time. We're going to celebrate whatever it is that we're about birthdays and whatever. But this time, there were a lot of people that were in the town. There were a lot of people that came from all nations. And when they had gathered there, they didn't know what was going to be expected when Jesus came in. But the Jewish people celebrated the delivery of slavery from Egypt. The Israelites were instructed to mark their homes in by the blood of a lamb, sacrificial lamb. And as I remember the story, that I was weeping, gnashing, of course, because all firstborns all over were being killed and it was slaughtered. Those of you that watched the movie that you would hear, it was just devastating. But because of a good God, he told them that we needed a sacrificial lamb to be brought. And the shed blood of the lamb was supposed to be put over the doorpost of the heart, the doorpost of their homes. And when the spirit saw the blood, it would pass.
Right.
He would pass over. And I thought to myself, I said, this is just like God. It's like God. God is so gracious. He's gracious to all of us because there are things in our lives that the enemy would try to come in and break down an area in our lives and try to take control. But I use this example in our homes because when I pray, that a lot of times we're not able to see what all comes at us. We're not able to see and take in everything that the enemy will throw at us. But my God, we have a Lord Jesus Christ that says that the blood shed on the doorposts of our hearts mm-hmm. will stop it all. That's if right. You would begin to pray, Father God, I love you, but I just ask in the name of Jesus. I pray this all the time in my house. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would put the blood on the doorposts of our hearts, that the enemy cannot pass.
That's right.
The enemy cannot go forward, you understand, past the blood. Something about the blood stops them in its tracks. Something about the blood. And I believe that we all should really pay attention to this because there's a message in here for all of us.
That's right.
The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus will stop any and everything that will come against you. That's the standard that we talk about a lot of times.
Yes.
It's the blood.
Yes.
Get used to it. We are not saints that are just shriveling in a corner, waiting to see what is going to happen, if it's going to happen. We need to get up, dust ourselves off, and understand that the blood of Jesus is more powerful than anything that will ever come against
That's
us.
That's right.
Those are the things that they were celebrating on Passover. This was the excitement. They had been freed. The deliverance, and they have been celebrating it. Now, historically, we talk about the Passover. The Passover it was the beginning of a festival. They had three festivals. I believe it was the Tabernacle Festival, Tabernacles. They have three big major festivals that the Jewish people. Pentecost, the festival of Pentecost. But on this day, they were celebrating in mass crowds and things. So My next point is that the king is coming. I don't know about you, but with all of the things that are going on in our lives this day, sometimes it can be overwhelming. Sometimes the enemy will come at you such force that you don't know where he's coming at. But aren't you glad this morning the Bible says the king is coming?
Yes, right.
The king is coming because he is mighty. He is the one that you can call upon at any time. So when I think about the huge crowd that had gathered, when I think about all of the traveling that Jews had gone through over a long period of time just to get there, there had to have been some high expectation, high level of excitement that was going on. And then in the midst of all of this, you begin to hear a whisper.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody in the crowd says, "He's coming. He's coming." And you know how a big crowd is.
Yeah.
You know, it might start off small, but all of a sudden, the fever gets to, the pitch gets to raise, and all of a sudden, "He's coming. He's coming." And then you look up, and that's what you saw on the triumphal entry of Jesus Christ, that Jesus was coming.
That's right.
He was on his way to Jerusalem, and he was riding on a donkey. Let me get this straight, because a lot of times they he's riding on a donkey. He was riding on a donkey's colt. Because back in those days, kings, when they would go out and they would have battles, they would come back victoriously. They would ride through the streets on a white horse.
Mm-hmm.
But in times of peace, they would ride upon the noble donkey. See, back then, the donkey had a different, the donkey had a different reputation. The donkey was someone that had brought in families from town to town. If you were going to do anything and it included a distance and whatnot, the donkey was there to serve you. The donkey was a mild-mannered, kingly back in the day. And so when Jesus came in, you would expect him to be riding on the donkey, but isn't just like our God. The colt had never been ridden. Nobody had ridden on the colt. Now the donkey, like I said, he had probably he brought in a lot of prestige. He brought his master and the family and everybody else. But isn't it like our God?
Yeah.
To come in full fashion, riding on the colt. Riding on a colt that had never been ridden before. If you got your Bibles, turn to Zechariah 9 and 9. And Jesus was on his way to Bethlehem, and he was riding on the donkey's colt, which was the fulfillment of the words by the prophet Zechariah. See, this had been happening a long time ago. God had put prophets, and they had proclaimed, they had spoken the word. And when they had spoken the word, now was this time that Jesus was going to choose that donkey because it was in the word. Verse 9, chapter 9 and 9. "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt of the foal of a donkey." And like I said, the donkey was a very prestigious animal back in the day. But here's the thing, what I want you to get here is that God is the same today.
Yes, he is.
Yesterday, today, and forevermore.
Yes.
He spoke his word that he will perform that.
Yes, he will.
So if those of you that have things that are going on in your life and someone has spoken into your life, if someone had spoken to you in certain areas of your life, you need to trust and believe in God, because God does not forget. Now, here with all the excitement, you would think that some detail would have been left out. You would think somebody had forgotten what the itinerary was all about. Jesus didn't. Jesus knew what the word had been prophesied. And so when he came in, that's how he came in. And Jesus wants us to know today that whatever it is that we're going through and whatever it is that you will be going through, that he is a God that keeps his word. He's not like man that he should lie. Mm-hmm. So if you got a promise, and you have a promise this morning before you leave here, you hold on to the promise of God. No matter what is going on in your life or the lives of others and family, you hold on to what God has put into your heart.
That's right.
There are tough times. People just think, well, we're going to get up in the morning, and it may be you might be that person that gets up in the morning and nothing is bothering you. But there's somebody here this morning that get up and don't feel that great.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody get up in this morning and the pressures of life have helped. Have seemed like it overcomes them.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody here this morning has gotten to a point to where I don't know, should I give up?
Right.
And of course, you know the answer is no. We serve a big God. You don't give up. You stay strong.
Mm-hmm.
God answers prayer.
Amen.
All we need to do is prayer. Is pray. I'm sorry. All we need to do is pray.
Yes.
We don't get a lot of what we ask for because in most cases we don't pray.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that when we first started keeping a diary, a journal as it was, I used to pray all the time, Lord, do this. Lord, do that. Young man, 21, just praying. And then I started journaling. And as I began to journaling, I began to see the steadfastness of the Lord. When I start the journal, I begin to see God answers prayer. I had forgotten all about it. I don't know, like you. Sometimes you pray something, you don't think nothing about it, you just keep on going along. And then all of a sudden, you look back and you say, my God,
mm-hmm.
that prayer is answered.
Mm-hmm.
So be encouraged. We live in a time where that technology and everything is just sucking up our space. It's getting in the way of what that small, still voice is saying to your heart. Be encouraged that God answers prayer.
Yes, he does.
So the whisper of the crowds, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. The king was coming, and the crowd ran, and they greeted him shouting. And they were greeting him. They were shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna. It's the Hebrew word for save now, not later. Hosanna, Lord, save me. You remember the rhema of word that Peter had when he was on the water and it started sinking.
Right.
He didn't have time to go into detail.
Mm-hmm.
All he knew, he was sinking.
Right.
And we get that way sometimes in life because all of a sudden we don't know what to do, where to go. And it's upon us right now. And he says, save us. Hosanna, the people said. Hosanna, save now.
Yeah.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
That's right.
Hosanna for the son of David. Luke 19, I believe it is, 36 and 37, 38 describes it in this way. 19:36 and 38, it says, and as he went, many spread their clothes on the road. And then as he was now drawing near the descent of the Mount of Olives, and the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in the heavens and glory in the highest. There was a joy in the crowd that day, and it was a time of celebration, a shouting, a singing, and praising. Sometimes when we're in a festive mood, our problems are kind of off to the side. We don't concentrate on negatives when you're in a celebrating a mood. But looking to the word this morning, I can see that as the prophet spoke in days of old, Jesus had an itinerary. Jesus knew who he was.
Mm-hmm.
And so when he came, he had to make sure that he fulfilled all of what the word says.
Yeah.
So that you and I now, that when we look on our situations, that when we pray, that we can see the faithfulness of God down through time.
Mm-hmm.
We can see the faithfulness of a holy Father that cared, and that he set his sight to begin to answer and to reveal what the prophets had said. Because had he not done that, I don't know that if I get up in the morning and be reading my Bible.
Right.
Because had he done that, I don't know if the Bible to me would be real, because I ain't got no proof. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, I would say, well, with the Bible, where's it at? Where's the proof? Mm-hmm. Jesus was the proof. He is the fulfillment.
That's right.
Even in this time of festivity and all of the excitement that's going on, the people didn't know what was going on. People were just excited. It was out having a celebration or whatever. Jesus had a mission. Jesus had a mission, and the mission was to be able to all of the prophets, all of their prophecies. Jesus wanted to make sure that he had not missed anything. So as an example for us today, that we can count on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
There was joy in the crowd, they said. They were shouting. Sometimes there are things that are going on in the background in our lives, sin, things that would hold us down. But because of the festiveness that's going on in the generation that we live in, we can't really deal with it because it's not really in our face. What's in our face is Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
What's in our face this morning is 5 o'clock news. What's in our face is a lot of things that this generation has put before you to quiet the word of God.
Mm.
And so what we want to do this morning, we want to remember that in the midst of the joy, in the midst of all of the noise that are going around, Jesus is still Lord. Jesus is still on the throne.
Yes, he is.
What I see here too also is that when we as his followers, we are the his people, we are the love of his wife, that God is doing something in the heavens. In the beginning, when men sinned, and there was this wall that came, and God couldn't look upon sin, there was a plan. And this plan included Jesus coming down from heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus coming down from his own throne, because the question was going about back in the olden days was, who is God? I don't know God. God's too big for me. I don't understand the concept of God. And if he was a God, does he care about me particularly? In the word of God this morning, we're seeing right now that Jesus is fulfilling scripture. He's fulfilling prophecy. He's letting you know who I am. I am that I am. He's letting you know that he loves each and every one of us.
That's right.
He cares deeply about what it is that you're dealing with and what you're going through. I don't know about you, but sometimes I get, does anybody care?
Right.
I'm having a difficult time here.
Mm-hmm.
Can anybody, you know, the expression that you use, can you say, do you feel me?
Mm-hmm.
It's tough.
Yeah.
You know, I'm in a relationship, and it ain't going so great. This relationship that I thought in the beginning, it started off with love. It started off with our needs being met. And all of a sudden, somewhere down the line, it went south. Can anybody understand what I'm saying this morning?
Mm-hmm.
Something is going on in this world today that we need a Jesus. A Jesus that triumphantly came and answered the call. We need someone that will say it's going to be all right. Because in the darkness of our time, 3 o'clock in the morning, I don't know about you, but when my problems happen,
mm-hmm.
it's always after hours. Mm-hmm. I can't pick up the phone and say, you know, I need some help. I can't pick up the phone and expect on the other end somebody can help me with something I'm dealing with. With me, it happens at 3 o'clock in the morning. I can't even wake my wife up. Now, I wake up, I know we understand or whatever. But I don't know about you. Somebody wake me up at 3 o'clock in the morning. It better be really, really, really good. But our God this morning, He cares. And He loves you, and He's laying down prophecy. He's answering the call with a triumphant Jesus Christ. Do you love me, God? I don't know. You're too big for me. I'm just an ant. I'm just a little small nothing here. I'm just passing through. As I said, I'm just passing through here. What can you do for me, Jesus? You know, I got conditions. However age and stage that you're in life, we all go through problems. And sometimes I remember when I was in school that it was a hardship. I didn't just pass through school. It was very difficult. I needed somebody. I needed something. And I needed to call on the Lord Jesus Christ. My life changed at age 21. Now, I was raised in church. I was full of gospel, but it was Kojic. You know, anybody in here from Kojic?
Yeah.
And then we went through Baptist. And then we went through a whole line of churches because my dad, Jeremiah, he was looking for something. He was looking for something because his life had been touched. And as he began to read the Bible, he saw all the promises. And the places that we were, there were no of those promises being fulfilled. Anyway, Jerry was looking for something that had some power. Jerry was looking for something that was triumphant. He was looking for something that he could call on and relate it to what the Word of God has to say. How many of us now that we live in a world, but then they talk about Christianity, they talk about Paul, they talk about Silas, they talk about all these things, but that was fine then. But Jesus, what have you done for me lately? How can you meet my needs? I'm hurting right now. And I want to tell you this morning the reason why that Jesus done what he done, because he said, I love you. He says that you sinned, and I said I can't look upon sin, but I'm gonna tell you what I'm gonna do. Before the foundation of earth, from the foundations in the sand of this earth, he had a plan.
Right.
The enemy didn't even know about it. I believe the enemy would have known about it. He would say, oh my goodness, I sure messed up killing Jesus. You know, I sure messed up. But he done all this to let you know that he is a loving God. And he cares. If you don't get anything out of a triumphal entry at this point, but I want you to be reminded that God cares so much.
Yes, he does.
That Jesus was in the beginning and Jesus came down. I believe the word says that he still got the scars on his hands.
Right.
He still got the scars embedded where they had nailed him. Here it was, Jesus fulfilling prophecy. He knew what was going to happen.
Yes, he did.
He understood exactly what was at stake. And knowing all this, he still did what he said that he was going to do. Yes, he prayed. Yes, in Gethsemane, drops of blood. We understand that. But he still was looking down through generations and seeing us individually. Looking down in through generations and not looking at a crowd, but he was looking for us individually.
Yes.
He wanted you to know that he cared and he loves you.
Yes.
He cared and he
yes,
loved
he does.
Each and every one of us this morning. My last point that I want to make on this is that Jesus, the Bible said, began to weep.
Yeah.
Jesus began to weep. There is another narrative, but it's found in Luke 19, 41 and 44. But as he came closer to Jerusalem and saw the city ahead, he began to weep. How I wish today that all of people would understand the way to peace.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's too late, and the peace is hidden from them, from their eyes. Before long, your enemies will build ramparts against your walls and encircle you and close in on you from every side. Then they will crush you into the ground, and your children with you, your enemies, will not leave a single stone in place, because you did not recognize it was God visiting you. Jesus is fulfilling prophecy. Why did he weep? I think he wept for many reasons. Jesus wept because that he knew the future of Jerusalem. I believe in the Bible, he talks about in 40 years before, after that, that the Romans would siege Jerusalem, scale the walls, and kill how many?
Mm-hmm.
I think it was a million Jews. Jesus wept. He saw this. The prophecy was coming to Jesus was looking at the prophecy, and he was weeping. Jesus also wept because he knew that there would be those that would reject salvation. When we come to the part where Jesus is weeping here, with all the celebration and everything that's going around, a lot of us can identify like that, because in the midst of the party, we may be downhearted. In the midst of the party that's what's going on in and around us, there are things in our lives that are dragging us down.
Mm-hmm.
There are things in our lives that God wants to free us. There's bondages that need to be broken.
Yes.
There are things that have been passed down from generation to generation that somebody needs to have a faith and the understanding that Jesus came to free you. Jesus came to bind up the brokenhearted. This is why he was weeping. This is the God that cares. This is the God that was loving. So even as with all the celebration and all that, Jesus was weeping. He wept because he knew that those that were in that very crowd,
mm-hmm.
that was saying Hosanna, that very crowd, those that were celebrating, within less than a week, they were going to be saying, crucify him.
Yeah.
They were going to say, give us Barabbas. And crucified as Jesus. He was weeping because of that. He cared so deeply. There was Jesus was weeping, but also because that those would not understand the understanding that people did not receive him. There are so many people that we live in today. That's why I believe that we all should be about our Father's business. In the church, like you have here at 3P's, they're always out and they're ministering. They're all
mm-hmm.
ministering beyond the four walls of this church.
Amen.
There's people out there that are lost. There are people out there that needs Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got to get that into our spirits. That is a heavy, heavy, heavy load. We might be going to heaven. We might be having eternal life within us, but Jesus was weeping. Because as he looked down through generations, there were people that would not give their hearts to the Lord. There were people that were going to say, yeah, not now, Jesus. Maybe another time. Jesus was weeping because of that. Jesus understood that it was peace that people need in their hearts. But he was weeping. He cared so deeply, deeply about us. I believe that when you see Jesus and you see God and he understands everything from the ending, from the beginning to the ending, that he understands each and every one of our life. Like, he understands what he's dealing with. We've heard stories here, even in this church, about deep hurts, things that have just crushed our spirits because of neglect, because of things that we didn't do properly or we didn't do right. But in this message from Jesus triumphant, I want you to understand at this point in this time that he began to weep, I want you to see and understand that he cares. He wept because he loves you.
Yeah.
He wept because he feels you.
Mm-hmm.
He wept because each and everything that you're dealing with and you're going through, he's experienced that. He knows that. He was the one that was beaten. He was the one that was fed upon. He was the one that gave his life for a sin-filled world. He didn't have to, but this is the God who we serve. Why would he do that? What is it? The angels are mystified. Who is man? So marvelous. Who are you? You see how much God puts in you? He cares so much about you. It is puzzling the angels up there. Who are these people? And he's so mindful about it. Who is it? He's weeping and he's caring because of the love that he has for each and every one of us. I want to end this morning with Jesus weeping is a call to salvation. Jesus weeping is touching all of our hearts this morning because we just want to give up. Sometimes we don't know where to go. We don't know who to talk to. You see things happen every day and they say, well, did you know somebody took their lives away? Did you get any hint or whatever? Jesus knows all about it. Mm-hmm. Jesus knows how to touch the lives of those that are next door and come on and say, honey, I just want to talk with you. Jesus cares for us in such a way that he does not want anyone to be lost. He doesn't want any of us to go away and say, you know, Lord, I didn't have a chance. He's given us a chance this morning. He's given us a chance this morning because of the triumphal entry. He came in riding on a donkey. There's going to be a time he's coming back and he ain't going to be on a donkey.
That's right.
I'm telling you. There's a time he's going to come back. And those that are here, when he does come back, we need to be ready.
That's right.
So those of us that are still stuck here and God's given us an anointing, God's given us for something to say that we need to be about our Father's business this morning. Mm-hmm. We need to be strong in the power of God's might. We need to say, you know, here I am, Lord. Send me, but I know who I am. Because of what you've done for me, because you died, because you went through all of the Palm Sundays and the Passion and the Crucifixion, because you've done all of that, you've done it for me. And because the reason why that you've done it for me, because you've given me a testimony. You've given me something in my life that I can speak in the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. And my job, I want to go as far as I can, as loud as I can, to preach the gospel and the Savior Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Amen? If you're sitting here this morning, you need to get excited about Jesus.
Yeah.
You need to get excited about what it is Jesus wants to do. Jesus don't want us just to be sitting here. Jesus don't want us just coming here week after week, hearing the same thing, going back out the same way.
Amen.
Jesus says, enough. Jesus says, I've given you everything.
Yes.
You understand? Jesus said, you understand, I suffered for you.
Yes.
You can't say I don't love you, but Lord, I'm so discouraged. I'm so this and I'm so that. This morning through the word is Jesus is saying salvation is available.
Amen.
Jesus is saying for those of you that maybe have not had a chance to receive the love that I have for you, the opportunity of Palm Sunday was all about salvation, all about him coming in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, answering all of the prophecies that gone down before him, just so to get our attention as we look back and we see, hey, that one's for me.
Yeah.
He did this for me.
Yeah.
Imagine Jesus over in the corner. Imagine him looking at us even today, looking at you. Back then, he was looking at Jerusalem. Today, he's looking at you.
Amen.
He's looking at you.
Yes.
And he said, I died for you. He said that I love you. He said that I see everything that is going on in your hearts. He knows every instance that's going on in your life. And he's saying this morning, he's saying, I'm loving you. I love you. I love you this morning. Is there anyone here this morning as I begin to offer up salvation in the name of Jesus? You have not received Christ in your life. you haven't given him all authority, and you don't have a right to the tree of life. As the heads bowed this morning, as we look around, if there's anyone here that, you know, I've heard this for a long time. I've heard the invitation. I've heard the call. But I'm praying that the Holy Spirit this morning will speak to the hearts of someone that have not completely given their hearts to the Lord to say, yes, I would like to receive Jesus as my personal Savior. Anybody here this morning, anybody here will say, yes, I want to receive Christ. I want to make sure that I am on board. I want to make sure that I am on board with eternity.